This morning's reading is from the prophecy of the end times and deals with the 33 fundamentals. The doctrines contained in the community's scripture and sacred writings are revelations from God given for the spiritual evolvement of man. The candidate must be made to understand and acknowledge that the primary reason for the school's existence is to instill, through its licensed teachers, every candidate training in its sacred chambers with the authorized means by which each can individually and collectively assist God to transform the world by means of generative energy. If the fundamentals are not clearly understood, then the candidate will not evolve in a spiritual manner, and by becoming involved with generative energy, may work a harm in the cosmos by directing improper energy back to the sun. The fundamentals, being elementary principles to the system, are 33 in number, and they are herein arranged in their proper order and are to be revealed to all candidates with commentary. First, God is spirit and exists in a dimension removed from the material universe, though the two are interrelated. Second, spiritual dimensions are immortal, whereas material dimensions are mortal, the latter having evolved out of the former. Third, man was made in the image of God at his first appearance and degenerated into a material being because of error. Fourth, in order to regain his original spiritual nature in which he was created, man must experience a regeneration of spiritual being with the aid of God. Fifth, spiritual birth is an act of regeneration made possible by the seminal impregnation of God's love and light in man's spirit, which receives it. Sixth, once reborn in spirit, the being that emerges is called the soul, which is obliged to exist under spiritual laws. Seventh, the means by which man is reborn and made in the original image of God is not a matter of faith, devotion, or belief as taught by existing religions. It is one that is realized solely by the rebirth of spirit, the most fundamental teaching of Jesus, who was an instrument of God sent into the world as an act of his will. Eighth, God has appeared in the world for a second time to restore man and the material universe to the original state of spirit. Ninth, the word of God being his thought and will is presently manifest in the Son of Righteousness. Tenth, this divine presence in the spiritual Son is a redeeming force which makes God intelligible to man. 11th, because man's salvation is dependent upon God and God alone, this divine presence constitutes a heavenly Christ that fulfills the promise of all human saviors, holy prophets, sacred scripture, and the founders of all religions. 12th, human saviors, holy prophets, sacred scripture, and world religions cannot redeem the members of the human family nor restore them to their original nature. 13th, God at his second appearance is the living successor to human saviors, holy prophets, sacred scripture, and the world's great religions. 14th, being a new condition of cosmic proportions, God's presence manifest in the Son of Righteousness represents the beginning of a new creation. 15th, This new creation begins with the thought of God, and those in accord with it become the first fruits of the new creation. 16th, those mortals given new spiritual life by means of God's word are the first immortals of the new creation, members of a new species of God. 17th, instilled with God's word, these immortals are moved to collect together for the creation of a new religion, blessed of God. 18th, because a new condition exists in the cosmos, the older religions of the former condition, beginning with the Christian religion and including all religions, must be instructed in the new teachings revealed of God. 19th, the revelations from God have been given by a messenger from heaven, the child Jamil, to the Christian religion for the establishment of an order of ministers ordained in a new church constituting the Second Advent Church. 20th, the new Advent Church is authorized by God to instruct the whole of Christendom, bringing amendments and supplemental teachings for its restoration as a fulfillment of prophecy. 21st, the new Advent Church is set apart from the old church of the first Advent, replacing it as the true church of God. 22nd, the new church is the work of God and has its origins in God's word, being his thought and will. 23rd, the new ministry of the Church of the Second Advent is licensed by God, deriving its lawful existence through ordination in unbroken continuity from the appearance of the child down to the first prophet, the guardian of the child, ordained of Christ as called by God. 24th, the new ministry succeeds the apostles and disciples of Christ, and the first prophet succeeds the child Christ and holds his office on earth as do his successors. 25th, the office of the child Christ governs the church in all matters and heads the ministry and the school. 26th, the ministers of the new church are empowered by God within its structure of laws and statutes to instruct all of the human family and its governing bodies, as well as its institutions of learning, both secular and religious, in the new condition brought upon the earth by the coming of God into the world through the spiritual Son of Righteousness. 27th, the responsibility of the new ministry is binding. For all who have received the blessings of God must teach others within and only within the authorized Church of the Second Advent as a sacred duty. 28. The revelations and teachings of the Church of the Second Advent have been revealed to the first prophet and apostle through inspiration of the Word of God, and ministers and others are charged not to use private judgment or human interpretation of these revelations and teachings, or to make innovations on that which has been revealed for the purpose of establishing a restored and regenerate church on earth. 29th, a special bond exists between God and his church on earth, extending down from the Messianic Son to every minister sharing in his divine love that cannot be enjoyed by anyone, though he look upon the sun from sunrise to sunset outside the special grace bestowed by the Creator upon those who serve in this new age of light and spirit. 30th, the blessings of the Messianic Son are all bountiful and cannot be transmitted from one person to another. These blessings are restricted to those who have truly given themselves over to the care of God and His church, and each is cautioned to remember that these blessings are a matter of degree. For God sees into one soul, knowing who loves him. Therefore, when looking upon the brightness and light of the material sun, every minister should know that therein exists three aspects. The first is God, manifest in the spiritual Son of Righteousness. The second consists of sentient beings of both light and dark powers, of a kind not known to or understood by humankind on earth. And the third consists of energies and forces of the material universe. And without true devotion to the church and the service of God, the second and third aspects will influence a person's destiny to ends not in accord with God's divine plan for human salvation. 31st, having manifested his image and word, which are a reflection of his form, being, and consciousness, God appears to the elect of the church as the Son of Righteousness, and every minister is cautioned against improper or indiscriminate use of the magnified energies and powers displayed in the material sun, through which spiritual forces appear, and each minister is obliged to master these for the overall good of the cosmos. 32nd, Christ, the form, being, and consciousness of God, manifest as the light of the Son of Righteousness, is man's only redeemer, and ministers are to teach against the idea of the appearance of any human Messiah as an act of the powers of darkness, these being the intellectual powers of sentient beings existing in material dimensions of a higher degenerate state than those now apparent to man. 33rd, God, being all-loving and good, has willed that divine reason govern the actions of man more than human reason, and that all those persons participating in the divine state constitute the true church of God. They are to exemplify this new life, which requires great learning and great knowledge of a new spiritual revelation, prophecies, teachings, and scriptures, and living a liturgical life unlike any other religious way known to man, so that God can shed his image and word through humankind as well as from the Son in heaven. Therefore, teach that the third school in the world of man is above all things, teaching civilization and revealed truths of an altered world coming under the influence of the Son of Righteousness. We will now have the blessings.